Call to order the Santa Claus County Board of Supervisors meeting. If everybody please rise for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We're going to start this morning with a presentation declaring the week of July 22nd through 28, 2007 as Probation Services Week in Santa Claus County. Mr. Bowers.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Jerry Powers, Chief Probation Officer. I want to thank you for proclaiming this week as Probation Services Week. And as I typically do, I have some numbers for you. It wouldn't be me without presenting numbers. Probation Services Week is important to this county, as it is to every county in the state, and is being observed statewide, and actually is being observed nationwide. In this county, in the probation services, we supervise 750 juvenile court wards, over 4,000 adult felons. We process 3,500 juvenile arrest reports every year from local law enforcement agencies. We provide 2,300 sentencing recommendations to the court. We process over 2,000 new adult probationers annually. We complete over 4,000 reports for submission to the court. In excess of 99% of these reports will be submitted to the court on time. We attend over 3,300 court hearings annually. We process over 2,000 minors annually into our juvenile hall. We supervise over 1,000 minors on house arrest and electronic monitoring programs. We provided over 51,000 bed days for minors detained in our juvenile hall. And we supervise over 123 hours of school for those minors in our juvenile hall. We participated in over 16,000 hours of professional training. And we will recover this year nearly $1.5 million for victims and in court fees and fines. We processed over 13,000 files in the last 6 months and scanned over 1 million documents into electronic format as part of our ICGIS upgrade. Because of probation services, our officers and staff will remove hundreds of dangerous criminals from our communities. They will also refer hundreds of our citizens to our community partners to address issues such as drugs, domestic violence, mental health, vocational, and educational needs. Hundreds of these individuals will successfully complete probation by completing counseling, paying victim restitution, and remaining law-abiding. The vast majority of these individuals will never return to the criminal justice system. Most individuals in this audience and our viewers at home have been touched by probation services either directly or indirectly through family members or close friends. If you were to ask those who we touch to describe us, they would use words such as law enforcement, social workers, counselors, teachers, mentors, and friends. Those terms sort of touch on the wide array of services that probation services provides. I'm admittedly biased, but I would describe them simply as the best. I'm proud to present them to you today for this resolution. Typically, I show you photos of drugs and weapons that we've confiscated over the year when I talk to you. I'd like to ask the probation staff in the room today to stand and be recognized as the people behind those photos. They are dedicated professionals who epitomize our organizational vision of providing community safety and service with professional integrity. We have three representatives today who are going to receive the proclamation from the chairman. Sam Sharp is a DPO assigned to our Gang Impact Task Force, or the county's Gang Impact Task Force. Sam is our probation officer of the year. He has 6 years of service with the county. I said originally there were four. One of our members took ill this morning, But Andy Paluzzi is one of two institutional custodial staff who was recognized as Staff Member of the Year for the Institutions Division. Andy and his partner, Bonnie Owen, who I said took ill earlier this morning, could not be here, represent 44 years combined of part-time service to the Stanislaus County Juvenile Hall. That's incredible. The two of them were nominated by over 70 staff this year for our Employee of the Year Award. Quite an accomplishment for two individuals to spend over 40 years working as part-time staff, and truly a testament to their dedication. May Arabu has 21 years with the county and is representing our support services staff. May was one of the individuals who is, as I said, representing support services, but is integral in those million documents that I talked about being scanned and providing the support to the officers in the field so that they can go out on the field and not have to sit at their desks and process paperwork and respond to phone calls. So those are the three individuals I'd like to present to you so that you can present the proclamation, Mr. Chair.
Well, I want to thank you and all your colleagues, everybody at the Probation Department, for the job that you do. The services you provide to the residents of this county are very valuable. It's this board's pleasure to thank you and congratulate you for a job well done. And I have a proclamation to present. This is the Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors does hereby unanimously proclaim the week of July 22nd through 28, 2007 as Probation Services Week and encourage all citizens to honor these law enforcement professionals and to recognize their achievements. Thank you. And would you like to say a few words? Thank you very much. Okay, next on our agenda this morning is public comment period. I have one specific request to speak, and we'll start with Miguel Donoso.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The flyer of the thing you're going to see is with regard to the Gallo performance art is going to be open, I think, pretty soon. But the question in regard to the prices, Mr. Chairman, I remember that Mr. Simon and Mrs. Marie Gallo promised that every low income or the average income person in this county can afford to go to see any performance art or the best cultural performance or arts in the county. And the range of the prices to be affordable for the average person or low-income person can come in to see this performance. But according to the record, you can see in the two lines that I put to you is $18.50 at the lowest price. But at the same time, the presentation of these two is almost like a regular performance you can see anywhere. Not a big thing to do. But the regular, the big ones, the big culture and the big artists and the big singers and the big performers is close to 270 per person. So who in the community can afford? Well, we know that this money comes from the county and the city. At least half of this money to build the center. So it's obvious it's some kind of contradiction after the promise of the chairman at that time, Mr. Ray Simon and Mrs. Marie Gallo, the promise. So I wonder under what jurisdiction the power of the board supervisor can request to see what can be done. I remember one time mentioned, I don't know what Mr. Gallo and Mr. Ray Simon, there's supposed to be a money set aside to somebody can donate or give money, not give money, but adjust the money for the person to go to see the performance. So if we want to be the cultural center of this valley, I don't think you have done a good job in that sense. So please think about it and to see what needs to be done. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Does anybody else in the audience wish to speak under public comment from floor. This is a time where any comments be made about anything that's not on the agenda. Seeing no one, we'll move on to consent calendar. Does anybody have any item they wish to pull for a separate vote or separate discussion? Supervisor Grover.
Yes, Chairman O'Brien, I'd like to pull C3 separate for a separate vote.
Okay.
To have a business relationship with the family that has that company.
All right. Any other item? I have a motion left, item C3.
So moved. Second.
I have a motion and a second. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 5-0. We'll move to item C3. Supervisor Grover is out of the room, and we have a motion to approve item C3.
So moved.
I have a motion.
Second.
And a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 4-0. Supervisor Grover is returned. Okay. It appears that we're going to have to go to correspondence because we have a scheduled matter at 9:15 and the time is not there yet. So correspondence.
This board has received a copy of the draft Bay Area to Central Valley High-Speed Train Program Environmental Impact Report, Environmental Impact Statement from the California High-Speed Rail Authority.
Refer to Chief Executive Officer, Department of Planning and Community Development, and San Joaquin Valley Rail Committee.
This board has received a notice of public hearing from the Riverbank Unified School District regarding consideration of a school facilities needs analysis and alternative school facility fees.
Refer to Public Facility Fees Committee.
This board has received a letter from the Governor's Office of Emergency Services regarding the U.S. Small Business Administration Disaster Declaration of Calaveras County as primary and several contiguous counties, including Stanislaus County, as a result of the USDA disaster designation due to agriculture losses caused by drought conditions that occurred December 2006 through April 2007.
Refer to Chief Executive Office, Office of Emergency Services, and the Agriculture Commissioner and Civil Ways and Measures.
This board has received a letter from the Stanislaus County Mental Health Board regarding membership of a psychiatric hospital citizen advisory committee.
Refer to Chief Executive Officer.
This board has received a letter from El Dorado County Fish and Game Commission regarding the formation of California Association of County Fish and Game Commissioners.
Refer to Fish and Wildlife Committee, Department of Planning and Community Development, and the Agriculture Commissioner and Similar Ways and Measures.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
We acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office, Risk Management Division. I'm going to ask if there's any Board of Supervisor reports. Supervisor Grover.
I'd just like to report that we held the local task force for the landfill quarterly meeting and the hazardous waste. And I represented the board on this.
Very good. Any other reports? Legislative Fiscal Management Report.
Yes, I do have a couple items to report to you today. First is relative to the state budget. We still are in a stalemate in Sacramento. The Assembly has moved budget forward. However, it is deadlocked in the Senate. We understand that the administration is trying to work with the leadership of the Assembly and Senate. Assembly has recessed for the time being, but could be called back when the need arose. So we're not quite certain what the timing will be of that. We do have some good news on the federal level. Our representatives have been pretty successful for us and probably more successful than most. Happy to report that Senator Feinstein has procured an earmark in our inter-op for the county of $300,000, $150,000, and that Congressman Cardoza for interops has secured $375,000. To add to that on the interop piece, an additional, as I recall, $150,000 earmark for the city of Modesto for interoperability. That brings us over $500,000 if our representatives are successful in acquiring these funding. Very, very good in a lean year. Or Stemba, we have earmarks now in the House through Congressman Cardoza of $200,000 and in the Senate through Senator Feinstein of $300,000. The other project that we brought back with us in March, which was the Tuolumne River Regional Park, does not at this time have an earmark. This is one of the projects that Senator Boxer is very interested in. We haven't given up on short-term and the long-term opportunities relative to funding for TRIP. However, it does look like our best opportunity will be next year with the safety lieu reauthorization, and we believe TRIP will be in a good position for funding. I would suggest that we consider taking Tuolumne River Regional Park project back as one of our focal points next year in our TRIP.
Very good. The time is now past 9:15. It's a public hearing to consider rezone application number 2006-13, Calloy Company Oil and Feed.
Good morning, Chairman O'Brien, members of the board. I'm Ron Freitas, Director of Planning and Community Development. And with me this morning is Joshua Mann, who will present the Planning Commission's recommendation with respect to this project.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Board of Supervisors, and CEO Robinson. Today I have a request for a rezone from Calloy Oil Company. They're requesting a rezone approximately a 5-acre parcel from A240 to a planned development. This will allow them to use an existing 15,000-square-foot warehouse office building to be used as a processing facility to extract oils from walnut and almond meat. The site currently includes the existing building, silos, and a truck scale. Additions to the site will do the employee parking area, security fencing, and landscaping. The business, if approved, will operate 24 hours a day, with the maximum number of employees at 7. It's located currently on Montpelier Road, south of Keys Road and north of Monta Vista. The current general plan designation is ag, with the zoning at A240. Here's an aerial photo, kind of shows the current site is right here. There's an existing Holler and Scheller to the south, and some small lot residential, and up to the north with mainly orchards surrounding it. The proposed site plan shows the existing building here in red. Mainly they'll be doing some interior improvements, adding machinery for the pressing. The landscape plan shows mainly walnut and almond trees to be planted consistent with the agricultural environment along the frontage, and some flowers, shrubs, and trees planted just in front of the building. The plan also calls for one sign to be located on the existing building, approximately 48 square feet, and addressing signs. The required findings to approve the rezone is find that the project is consistent with the overall goals and policies of the county's general plan, and find that the proposed PD zoning is consistent with the agricultural general plan designation. In order for a plan development to be consistent with the agricultural designation, the general plan states that it must be used for agriculturally related uses or for uses of a unique character which, due to specific agricultural needs or to their transportation needs, can only be satisfied in this agricultural designation. Such uses can include facilities for packing fresh fruit and facilities for processing agricultural commodities utilized in the county's agricultural community, etc. The Planning Commission on 9-0 vote recommended approval of rezone application number 2006-13, Calloy Oil Company, to the Board of Supervisors based on the development standards and actions outlined in the staff report. That concludes my presentation, and staff would be happy to answer any questions you may have at this time. Thank you.
Are there any questions for staff at this point? Okay, now this is a public hearing. I'll open the public hearing at this point and ask if anybody wishes to come forward and speak on this agenda item. Seeing none, we'll close the public hearing, bring it back to the board. Any further questions or comments? Is there a motion to proceed?
I'd like to make that a motion.
Have a motion?
I'll second the motion.
And a second.
And the motion includes on page one, adopt the negative declaration, so forth on one, and then the three of our planning recommendations on page two.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 5-0. Thank you. Time is 9:20. Supervisor Grover?
Just as you get to 9:20, I need to declare, as noted in the agenda, that I have a conflict here, and I'll step out.
Okay. 9:20 is a public hearing on the appeal of Planning Commission's denial of request for modification.
Mr. Chairman, I also have a conflict, and I'll have to step out.
Okay. This is a public hearing on the appeal of Planning Commissioner's denial of request for modification or removal of condition approval number 31.
And just to describe the conflicts, you'll recall that Supervisor DeMartini provided testimony to the Planning Commission on this matter, and he abstained the first time the matter came around. He's going to continue to abstain and not participate in this matter. And Supervisor Grover has indicated to you, as is very succinctly set forth in the staff report, he's decided to abstain on this matter. And that an indirect conflict of interest came up after the issue, indicating that his company did receive some financial income from the applicant on a separate project, but it was discovered, so he will not be participating, and that is why the actions of Planning Commission the planning staff is recommending today will be recommended to this board.
Okay. On the agenda I have, it says the Department of Planning and Community Development has requested the hearing be canceled. Is that?
That's correct.
Okay.
That you cancel the public hearing on the appeal of Planning Commission's denial of the request for modification or removal of condition of approval number 31 for parcel map application 2006-02, the Tim Bell Warnerville Partners, LLC, formerly Furtado Family Trust. Secondly, we recommend that you set a public hearing for August the 21st, 2007, to reconsider an appeal of Planning Commission's denial of vesting tentative parcel map application 2006-02 for Tato Family Trust, a request to create 13 parcels of 80-plus acres, one 70-plus acre parcel, and one 117-plus acre parcel from two existing parcels totaling 1,114 acres in the A240 General Agricultural District.
Okay.
So because of those conflicts, we are recommending that you cancel this hearing today and reschedule for August the 21st.
Okay. I do see the applicant here, and even though this now not going to be a public hearing, I'm going to allow him to speak.
Thank you very much. This situation was somewhat of a shock, as you can imagine. I'd like to get involved in trying to add some ideas how to implement a procedure that just never happens again. If I told you what this cost me, it would almost be a house for some people. I know nobody did it on purpose. It's just a mistake. But I would like to recommend that perhaps either on the website or in the application process, that a list of every business entity owned by anybody that would vote on anything, whether it be Board of Supervisors or Planning Commission, is listed, because I never even knew Mr. Grover until the application went through and was talking to different board members, and this came up by accident about three weeks ago when my contractor was having a casual conversation with somebody, and I was going on my merry way getting my map recorded, and everything just stopped. I mean, my buyer stopped, my bank stopped, everything stopped. And I can't even tell you the stress I'm going through over this, but everybody's been working with us. I appreciate it. I thank staff very much for them pushing this through. But I think that would be a process, because it's left up to us to know if there's a conflict. I had no knowledge. I didn't even hire them. My contractor did. I stayed out of it. My checks went to the contractor. So that's the recommendation. I think it might be something well warranted. And then when this goes back up and it's approved, I would ask that if staff could be given direction to expedite this for me. I would really appreciate that. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I just wanted to advise the board that when this matter came up, I did talk with the planning director, Ron Freitas, And the planning department has now instituted a procedure that on the new applications that are filed, instead of just a corporate name, as was done by Mr. Katakis on his company name, it was just the company name that didn't say who owned it. So from now on, we're going to have individuals, when they have a name, it has to have who are the principal owners of the company. If that would have been done, we might have been able to catch this at an earlier stage. And then, of course, Mr. Katakis has the one, is the one that actually did appeal the board approval and condition to the board, and that is what also caused the delay in this matter. Thank you.
Do we need to vote on canceling?
I have a question, a comment.
Mr. Monti.
For a matter of clarification, he will not have to pay another fee to start the process again.
No.
Okay, and then he doesn't have to go before the Planning Commission board. He will come directly to us.
That's what your action today would do.
Fine. Thank you.
So we need a motion to...
on the two matters, just for recommendations by staff.
Yeah.
So moved.
I have a motion by Supervisor Monteith. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Supervisor Mayfield. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 3-0.
Thank you.
Thank you. And if we can get our other two supervisors back, we'll move to 9:25 a.m. We're going to adjourn the Board of Supervisors meeting and reconvene as the In-Home Supportive Services Public Authority. First thing on this agenda is consent calendar. Is there any item that anybody wishes to pull? May I have a motion to approve consent calendar?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Mayfield, second by Supervisor Grover. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 5-0. Item 5A, acceptance of the In-Home Supportive Service Advisory Committee Fiscal Year 2006-07 reports to the community.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Supervisors, Mr. Crosby, and Mr. Robinson, it's my pleasure to be here today. Jack Van Baron, Executive Director of the In-Home Supportive Services. With me today is my Executive Secretary, Jennifer DeSanto, and she is instrumental in producing this report for the IHSS Advisory Committee. I'd also like to thank in the audience today Egon Stamler, Maria Childers, and Robert Taylor. They're all with Community Services Agency and work very closely with the Advisory Committee in this process. And a special note, thank you to Supervisor DeMartini. He has attended numerous IHSS Advisory Committee meetings, and his input is always most appreciated. Basically, just to remind you who the committee members are, Chair is Linda White, the Vice Chair is Mary Birch, Jose Acosta, Dwight Bateman, Joan Blackwell, Kenny Brown, our newest member, Jose Cisneros, that was recently appointed by the board, Rose Martin, Connie Muller, and George Sharp. The report is the culmination of a year's worth of work for the advisory committee. Usually they meet in the wintertime and develop a strategic plan, goals for the year coming, and the goals are highlighted in the report. There's a message from the chair. There's a section about how the different agencies work together, how the public authority, community services agency, the union, and others work together. The committee, basically, about who they are and what drove them to serve on the committee. The community services agency, how they fit into the picture, how they run the in-home supported services program. Then the public authority, how Link to Care fits in the picture, what we do versus the others. Some statistics, facts, and figures that are very helpful. And then survey results. Each year we commission Gina Donahue of Strategic Marketing and Communications to do a survey of all the consumers and providers in the community. It's a random sample. We receive a statistically valid sample, so we're able to generalize the results throughout the community. And this was the recipient satisfaction survey. So the overall satisfaction, we've noticed a slight trend, but it's not statistically significant. People are very satisfied with the program. The quality of service is very high. The staff treats them in a professional manner. They feel safer at home because of the in-home supportive services program, probably the key factor of the program. And then phone calls get returned. And that's one of the major concerns of folks, is that they want the response from the staff. And then we ask the same types of questions to the providers, their satisfaction with the program. On this one, we've seen generally an improvement over the 3 years that we've been doing this. Their overall satisfaction, how the staff treat them, they know who to call if they have a question, which is very important. The program is very pieces here, pieces there, so it's sometimes it's very difficult for them to get information. Of course, receiving a paycheck within 10 days is critical to them, and calls are returned promptly. So those are the things that we'll measure in the coming years as well. What you're seeing now is some registry information. Since the public authority was formed, it took over operation of the registry. The registry is basically a referral service so that when consumers need help at home, they don't know anybody who can provide the help, they'll call their social worker and the social worker will call us. So it's just a measure of the volume of business that we've been doing. And then finally, we'd like to recognize Madeline Amaral, a former committee member. She served for 5 years on the committee and decided it was time for her to do something else. So we want to thank her. And then a sad note, Laura Scruggs, an advisory committee member, passed away this year. So her input was much missed. And we're sad to see that. So if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer those. Otherwise,
any questions? Thank you for an excellent report.
Thank you.
I have a motion to approve this report.
I make the motion to approve.
I have a motion.
Second.
And a second by Supervisor Monkey. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 5-0. Thank you. Public forum for the In-Home Supportive Services Public Authority. Does anybody wish to speak under public comment? Seeing no one, we will adjourn the In-Home Supportive Services Public Authority. Return to the Board of Supervisors meeting. Ask if there's any final comment. We will adjourn this meeting. Thank you.